Grace be yours and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue our series of sermons on the teachings and writings of the Apostle Paul. This morning, as we hear that great chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. This is God's Word. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, dear fellow redeemed. The sermon this morning is on the great three. Faith, hope, love. Now, don't roll your eyes. Are you already beginning to plan this coming week's activities in your mind? Are you thinking, those again? Pastor, I know those things. I have known those three great things since I was a child in Sunday school. Faith, hope, love. Pastor, you might as well give us a sermon on having to eat and drink and to breathe and to get sleep in order to live. How about a sermon? How about a how-to sermon where I can outline everything well for my spiritual journey? Not so fast. Here is what the common view of faith is. Doesn't matter what you believe in, just as long as you're sincere. Here is what the majority opinion of hope is. There is no hope. Or maybe there's vague hope. And here's what most people think about love. The love is the acceptance and toleration of any view and thought, no matter how perverted it is. And how against God's will it clearly is. George Orwell famously said, quote, "We have now sunk to a depth at which the restatement of the obvious is the first duty of the intelligent man." Unquote. There is so much misunderstanding and misteaching about those great three. The unbelieving world around us has sunk to such a depth in the misunderstanding of those things that it's time for me, your pastor, not as an intelligent man, but as your shepherd, to restate the obvious. Faith, hope, love. Those are the great three in our Christian lives. Paul's words about the great three, faith, hope, and love, follow on his discussion of spiritual gifts. Their giving by God and their reception and use by Christians. And Paul points out there three things about spiritual gifts. God gives them to everyone. God gives them for a short length of time, and that those gifts are to be used for the common good, that they are to be used for everyone. This chapter follows his point that there is to be no jealousy about those gifts. There's to be no false humility, no pride when it comes to your gifts. Christians and our gifts are in this thing together. When one of us suffers because we don't use our gifts, then all of us suffer. When one rejoices because they're able to use their gifts to God, then all of us rejoice with them. Just like both of those things are true about the human body. Love is the greatest of those three great gifts. Because love is necessary to have the gifts of the Spirit and to use them properly. Think of love as being in the middle with hope on one arm and faith on the other. But the center, what holds it all together, is love. And since that love, God's love for us in Christ and our love for God now, because He saved us, since it is the greatest of the three, we'll save that for our third point of discussion after the other two. Faith is putting my trust in someone to do me good. Faith is taking someone at their word, like the centurion who said to Jesus, "You don't have to come under my roof. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed." Jesus told his disciples in the upper room, "Believe in God, believe also in me." Faith is trusting in the true God. Faith isn't positive thinking. It isn't optimism, a la the theology of glory and the success preachers today. True faith is only trust in the true God, the Holy Trinity. Faith is only as good as its object. Faith has no intrinsic value. Faith has no good in and of itself. Faith is only good when the object of it can really help and do what we want it to do. Faith in Christ alone is what saves us. Now, a person can believe and trust in anything. But if what you trust in doesn't have the powers that you think it does, then it really can't help you, and then your faith is really in vain. Faith can be as strong, so strong, that as Paul says, you literally can move mountains if God wants them moved. Or faith can be so weak that we cry out with the man in Mark chapter 9, "Lord, I believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." These views of faith are not the common view of faith in the world around us just as they were not in Paul's day. Recently, I heard a television pundit who says that he is a Christian, and I have no reason to doubt his word. I can't look into his heart. Stated very plainly and clearly that Christians, Jews, and Muslims all worship the same God. We don't. The three great religions of the world do not worship the same God. Christians worship God. The other two worship idols. Jesus said, "Whoever denies the Son denies the Father who sent him, and does not have the Father at all." Whoever denies the Trinity, whoever denies that Jesus Christ is true God, cannot believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay for all of our sins, by which action God declares us not guilty of our sins. Apart from the gospel, the truth that Jesus Christ is God and my Savior from sin, our greatest joy in life is that object, that He is the object of our faith. By the Holy Spirit's working, we know and trust that Jesus is God. And we put our faith in the Son of God alone for the forgiveness of our sins. We believe in Him as our Savior. The second of the great three is hope. We have hope for today. We have hope for the future. And we have that hope as we stand under the shadow of Jesus' bleeding body on the cross. We have that hope as we stand in Jesus' empty tomb next to those grave cloths that are folded up because He's not there. He has risen just as He said. We have that hope as you and I live on the mountaintops of our homes and lift our eyes to the skies waiting for Jesus to return to redeem also our bodies and to reunite them with our souls. This is our hope, which is in contrast to what Paul wrote to the Ephesians about people without hope and without God in the world. Have you ever had an unbeliever say to you, "I'm not afraid to die"? Well, that may be true. But the question that we need to ask them then is, but do you have any hope in death? And that gives us the opening for us to sow the seed of Christ. There are unbelievers who are not afraid to die. But what we need them to think about, we talked a little bit about this last week, what about after you die? Is there hope? Is there something more waiting for you? They're building a high fence along the George Washington Bridge from Fort Lee, New Jersey to the upper west side of New York. And they're building that fence because already this year, 9 people have jumped off and committed suicide. Again, we can't look into their hearts, but certainly we can say, can't we, how sad that there is so much hopelessness out there in the world. You and I have that great truth of hope in the crucified and resurrected Christ. When troubles linger and sorrows last, it is our hope that sustains us. No matter how low and how deep we may sink in despair or sadness, the well of God's love and provision for us is always deeper. He can do more for us than we either ask or think. And He does it every day in our lives. Moses gave hope to Israel right before he died He left them with this word of hope. The eternal God is your refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. That is our daily hope as Christians. And along with hope, in the middle of hope, holding on to hope and faith, is love, a special, unique love, agape, a Greek word that is rarely used in pagan literature, but is used over 150 times in the New Testament. It is that specific love of God for sinners who are unlovable. When Paul says the greatest of these is love, he's talking about that love that found you from eternity. The love that sent Jesus to live our lives and to die our deaths, to suffer our damnation in hell. That is God's love for us. And now he gives that love to his children as a gift, and it is our now agape can also be our love for each other. It's not a love that models itself after Christ's love. It is Christ's love in our hearts actually working as we love one another. Paul says that all those spiritual gifts I talked about earlier, prophesying, speaking in tongues, teaching, administration, all those things, they're going to cease when that day of our gospel comes to pass and the harvesters come to separate the wheat from the weeds. Sometimes those things cease before the end of time, but all of them will cease at the end of time. And even as some of them cease now, faith and love and hope will continue. But one day, even faith and hope will cease. When you get to heaven, will you need faith in Christ? Faith is trusting in what we cannot see. Paul says, we will see then face to face. So finally, we won't even need faith because we'll see God face to face. Will we still have hope? No, because we will be experiencing the thing that we hoped for, that we will be with God forever. And so one day, even hope is going to cease. In fact, Luther observed that when we are in heaven, we will have been purged and entirely freed from all sin and all evil desires. Our believing will be seeing. Our hopes will be fully realized. But one thing will continue, and that's why it's the greatest. Love. That love that we have now, rather that love that God has for us now, will continue through all eternity. And that love that we have for each other and for God will continue through all eternity. And so, those great three may be very familiar to us, but we don't ever want to take them for granted. And so, then, daily pray, call upon the Holy Spirit, that through that good news of God's love in Christ, that those great three, faith, hope, and love, will continue in your hearts. Amen.